After market close yesterday, Moody's released their report on South Africa's sovereign credit position, keeping the country's credit rating at investment grade, but still one notch away from junk at Baa3. The report warns that South Africa's debt metrics are likely to worsen in the short term, citing expected continued lackluster economic growth and limited investment levels in the economy. However, the ratings agency says it does believe that the newly elected government will work in earnest to push through much needed economic reforms to help turn the country's economic fortunes around, but doesn't believe the results will be immediate. My colleague, Craig van die Kerk, caught up with Lucy Villa. She's Senior Credit Officer at Moody's.
Lucy, welcome to the show. The report is very comprehensive, unemotional, and it clearly unpacks the challenges South Africa face. The ones it seems you are the most worried about are rising government debt levels, especially at Eskom, and our poor economic growth performance of late and depressed forecasts. Let's start with state debt. You now include government guarantees to Eskom in your calculation, and you project that if nothing changes dramatically, we may see total debt of over 70% to GDP by 2023. How significant is this risk to South Africa?
Thank you. So as you said, I think you know that we identified, and it has been the case for quite some time now, we've been identified two main challenges in South Africa. And I would put, you know, a slow economic growth first. And then, of course, you know, on the fiscal front, some pressures coming both from, you know, spending and revenue. And of course, the two are linked because, you know, in a slow growth environment, it's also difficult to raise tax revenues. These are really, you know, the two main challenges that we have been identifying for quite some time in South Africa. And as you pointed out, if we assume policy continuity, and when I say that, I refer to 2018 in particular, then based on commitment on the part of the government, fiscal policy stance we have seen in 2018, and taking into account, of course, the difficulties at Eskom, then we would see, you know, the debt to GDP continuing trending up. It's not a very steep increase, I must say. It's a kind of gradual but steady increase. I think the main risk is probably twofolded. One is that our rating analysis is a question of peers, and when we look at peers, many of the Baa3 rated sovereigns we have are actually on a very different trajectory. Most of them are bringing their debt to GDP level lower. So that would be, you know, one of the reasons why such a trend would be a negative from our perspective. The other factor that I think is important is that it also lowers the shock absorption capacity of the government. So when you have the relatively small debt and that, you know, a shock happens, then the fiscal authorities can step in, maybe provide a bit of, you know, stimulus to the economy or, you know, take over the cost associated with that shock. And yes, it will bring a bit, you know, the debt to GDP level higher. But if you start from a relatively low base, then you have that what we call shock absorption capacity. The issue is that when you start reaching 70% of GDP, you're losing that shock absorption capacity.
Moody's has always been regarded, especially in relation to South Africa, as a very patient and lenient credit ratings agency. How does the South African metrics compare to other emerging markets? You know, we'll put differently, how close are we actually to a downgrade?
It really depends of what is your outlook you take in terms of the growth and the fiscal. I think that's the reason why we, you know, explain that with the recent election now over, really our focus is on understanding what will be, you know, the policies that the new administration, the new government when formed, will bring forward. So that's really, you know, when we will know that, we will better understand how far or how close South Africa is to either a downgrade or actually an upgrade, since, you know, we have a stable outlook at the Baa3. But if you look at peers, we focus on the emerging market peers in particular. You know, I think that really what is striking is the slow growth, and we're going back to that, you know, challenges that are, you know, very well known in South Africa. And if you look at the peers we mentioned in our report, you clearly see that, you know, South Africa is probably one of the slowest economy we have. The trend also is interesting because the growth is low, but it's, you know, even slowing. So going to even lower level, which also, you know, is something which I think is important to bear in mind. And also, I think, you know, we try to explain better what can explain that trend. So we went into, you know, productivity growth comparison and so on and so forth. On the fiscal side, as I was alluding to it at the beginning, the main difference for us is not so much the level of debt today, because when you look at debt to GDP, whether you include the guarantees of ESCOM, whether actually you look at the broader state and enterprise sector, and you make comparison, today South Africa government debt is fairly well in line with that of Baa3 rated peers. As I was saying, the main difference is more the trajectory. And so under our no policy change scenario, we were saying debt would rise to 70% of GDP. That would then differentiate South Africa from Baa3 and would bring South Africa closer to another peer we discuss in our report, which is Morocco rated at Ba1. So, you know, I guess this gives you an idea of if there were no effective response on the part of the authorities, where we would go and where would be now more in line with the BA run rating. Then, you know, looking at the strength, I think it's very important to remind ourselves that, you know, the strengths haven't changed in South Africa, and maybe it's the reason why they are less widely discussed, but it's not because they haven't changed much that they are not there and that we don't take them into account. So I think it's, again, good to keep in mind what these strengths are. And it's a diversified economy. To be perfectly honest, compared with peers, that's something that we find in several of the emerging market peers we looked at. What I think is different from, and what maybe makes South Africa more unique compared to emerging market peers, is more related to the government access to a quite deep domestic capital market, which, again, here, if you compare with peers, this is where South Africa really stand out, and by a very large extent, I would say. So that's really where we're seeing South Africa actually faring much better.
The South African government is very aware of the consequences of a downgrade, and there's a lot of effort to engage with rating agencies such as Moody's to try and mitigate such a step. What do you think of the leadership in South Africa currently in charge of the economy, and what has your interactions been with, say, the Minister of Finance, Tito Mboweni, and our President Cyril Ramaphosa?
What I can say as a rating agency is that we have a participative rating for South Africa, which means that we have access and we have engagement on the part of the authorities. And that provides a base for our own analysis that then leads us to get to the rating. In terms of more, you know, detailed information of our relationship, you know, that is not something that I would expand on. Most of it is usually more on the confidential domain.
That was Lucy Villa. She's the Vice President of Moody's and one of the authors of the Moody's Update on South Africa.
Well, to get her slant on Moody's approach on the country's sovereign credit rating, I'm joined on the line by Lulu Krugel. She's Chief Economist at PwC Africa. Thanks very much for joining us, Lulu. You heard parts of that interview. Do you get Moody's rationale?
No, but completely. I think what Moody's raised are definitely issues that we have been aware of for quite some time, and that they have raised and the other rating agencies have raised for the last couple of years, and that we know that they've been watching. I suppose, in short, there's two things for me that stood out from the conversation that I had with Lucy, as well as from the report itself, and that is our relative strength to other developing market peers versus the areas where we may not be doing that greatly. And if I think, for example, she focused quite a bit on government debt, and of course that the expectation of it exceeding 70% of GDP, it's a little bit higher than the government's own estimates in this year's budget speech. But if you compare that, for example, with our position in 2007, and I think that's an important distinction that she made, right before the financial crisis, we were around 27%, a 29% of GDP, debt to GDP. So that's that important cushion that she talks about that we don't have now.
Yes.
And if you look at what's happening in the global economy, the trade war, slowing growth from China and other parts of the world, I think that is a little bit of a concern if there's an external shock at this point in time from the global economy.
Obviously, she touched on the fact that it doesn't look as though we're going to get much traction with economic growth in the short term. And there's a concern about what the tax man will be able to collect from the economy because it's still moving at a slow pace. And then, you know, obviously, there's still the economic imperatives that need to be dealt with, you know, the social aspect, education, et cetera, et cetera. So then with your great brain, how do we fix it? How do we go about getting to a point where we don't peak, we peak at 70 if needs be and come back down while still trying to get growth going?
Yeah, it's a couple of difficult decisions that should be made. And I think, you know, some of it's already in place. We saw already certain fiscal measures being implemented earlier this year in the budget speech. But I think everybody's really looking at what President Ramaphosa is going to do with the size of the cabinet and the size of government, etc. So there will have to be a very firm hand on government expenditure that does not generate economic growth. So everything that might not be you know, conducive to economic growth. That being said, as you say, we're sitting with poverty, inequality, you know, some deep social issues. So in terms of social spending, it's going to be very difficult to bring that back in. But on the positive side, I think we understand that one of the best things that we can get at this point in time for the economy is foreign direct investment and private sector businesses in South Africa starting to invest. And President Ramaphosa has worked hard over the last year and a bit to actually drive that forward. And I can't see that he will change that direction. So I think now after the election, if there's more certainty, that momentum will pick up speed because from government side, there simply isn't room. So we need that private sector investment to get jobs going. And if you look back to, again, 2006-2007, we had unemployment of under 20%. That was coupled with economic growth of around 5%.
All right, Lulu. Well, we're going to leave it there. More to talk about, but not enough time. Thank you so much. That was Lulu Krugel. She's chief economist at PwC Africa.